a real joy tonight to have been to this conference. We've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed the wonderful messages. And it seems that perhaps the main part of the conference and the preaching of our brethren, that their thoughts are along the same line as my thoughts. And this is always blessed. It's been our privilege to attend each one of the conferences. And as someone has said today, you know, this is the best one, at least since the last one we were at. But we need these. There's something wrong, I think, with a Baptist preacher that doesn't want to come and get in on this. We need it. I believe we need it as never before. I think we're seeing tonight what the writer of Hebrews said when he said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." I believe it's getting close to approaching the coming of our Lord. I can also say tonight in truth that I have a greater desire for the coming of Jesus tonight than I did last year at the conference. For many reasons. The main reason is because of the condition that Baptist churches are getting in. I wish God would come and get us out of this mess. But until then, we pray that He'll give us grace to be faithful. Because if He doesn't give us grace, we'll not be faithful. There's a power that is working in this world against Baptist churches and Baptist preachers that never was in the world before. I believe it's the spirit of the Antichrist. I believe He's working. I believe He's working on Baptists. Because they're the ones that have the truth and hold the truth. And if they quit preaching the truth will not be preached. These are my convictions. I have a greater burden for Baptist churches tonight than I've had in my ministry. To see them grow and to see them be blessed of God in these closing days. And so I hope several have said that they put me on their intensive prayer list, and I appreciate it because I need it. We appreciate the place to preach on the conference. We'd be glad to sit and listen to our brethren because we enjoy hearing them preach. I'd like to say tonight, as we begin to think about our message, that those of you who are here tonight, saved by the grace of God, that you're here and saved not because of the message of the Puritans. They haven't reserved anything for us. Not because of the denominations in the world. They haven't preserved anything for us. You're here tonight and saved by the grace of God because of the preservation of Baptists and the Church of the Living God. Baptists have had all the truth all the way along. And Baptists have preached the truth all the way along. And I don't like to hear about Reformed Baptists. I'd a whole lot rather see a reborn one. Because if you got a reborn one, you've got the same thing you had in the Bible. And if we'll get more concerned about reborn Baptists than we are Reformed Baptists. And I know there's ways, you got to use some words sometimes to get your thought over. I realize that. But I'm not going to lay down the truth that has been Baptist truth all the way along, give it to anybody except the Baptist Church. And the glory and praise is the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:21 said, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages. Amen. That included the one of Calvin's day. And I tell you, brethren, I believe we had 106 preachers, was it not? Both young and old. I would to God that young preachers today would get them a good concordance and wear out some knees on the britches and take the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God be the teacher. And we'll make Baptists again for the glory of God. We've got a lot of half-breeds in the world. And so, I want to speak to you tonight about this subject. Should Baptist churches grow at any cost? Now, I believe they ought to grow. I certainly do. I have a desire for the church I'm pastor of to grow. And I don't believe it ought to grow at any cost. The Bible said Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And beloved, if that power and that cause and love for the church doesn't cause it to grow, it doesn't need to grow.
Amen.
Love for anything else other than the fact that Jesus loved his church and died for it, and a love for any other thing other than that truth will perhaps build up a church membership, but it'll never build it up to the glory of God. And I want to read you now from the Word of the Lord and then bring some things to your hearts and minds. In Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. That's Psalms 127 and 1. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. Let's get the fact that the Lord must build the house. And if the Lord doesn't build the house, anybody labors in vain that builds it. That's what God said. And it signifies that there's a lot of labor. It takes a lot of labor. And it takes a lot of work to build a house. The Bible talks about the church being the house of God. And so we ought to build a house. And then there's another verse over here in the book of Hebrews that says in chapter 8 and verse 5, the last statement of that verse, God is speaking to Moses, and he said, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. We had a dear old brother by the name of J.M. Burgess that went to a Southern Baptist Convention meeting years and years and years ago. And they called on old Brother Burgess to preach the doctrinal sermon. And he read from Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. And he preached on a subject entitled, Don't Monkey with God's Formula. And I believe that it would be a good message tonight. Don't monkey with God's formula. Because it's a good one. And so as we think about this tonight, building at any cost. Should we build at any cost? Should we build at any cost? And two or three of the brethren have gone along this line, but I want to reemphasize it tonight. It's the burden of my heart. It's the burden of my soul. I pray, brethren and sisters tonight, that there will be a revival among Baptist churches tonight of the greatest institution in the world, the local missionary Baptist church. We need that revival. There is a trend away from it. There is a trend away from it. There is a power away from it. And so, as we think about it now, you know the Lord said, let me emphasize this for just a moment. The Lord emphasized in Matthew 16 and 18, that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It not only signified that he was going, that the one at Jerusalem was going to be there, but it also signified that he was going to continue to build it up. That he was going to continue to have his church in this world. And I believe tonight that we who are preachers ought to seek to build up the church. I believe we ought to seek to get people saved. I believe we ought to try just as hard to get them baptized. I appreciate this message on baptism. I do appreciate it. And I'll tell you, beloved, I hope all 106 preachers believe this, but I'll tell you, you can't be a member of a New Testament church without the right kind of baptism. It is impossible, and that's the reason that a lot of these heretics leave them alone. They won't preach the truth concerning baptism, and you can have it anyway. And I'm sorry tonight for men and women that pattern their lives after these baby sprinklers. I want to tell you tonight that a baby sprinkler doesn't believe in the sovereignty of God. He only professes to. If he believed in the sovereignty of God, he would believe the truth about baptism that came from heaven. If he believed that God was sovereign, he believed that God was sovereign over the how to be baptized and the why to be baptized. And Baptists need to come back to that tonight. That may get you killed. And I'll tell you what, I'd as soon die for that as anything I know of. I'll tell you what, I'd rather die tonight than to compromise the truth of baptism. Because it says what our brother said. It says something. So therefore, are we going to grow now? I'll get to this point. By fellowshipping with Baptists by name who believe in the universal or invisible church. Are we going to fellowship with them? I don't know what you're going to do. I know what I'm going to do. And the answer is no. The church I pastor, if I keep pastoring one, is not going to receive baptism from a church by the name of Baptist that is preaching and teaching an invisible universal church. We're not going to accept it. I'd just as soon to accept Methodist immersion as that kind of immersion. What's the difference? You tell me the difference. The Methodists believe in the universal church too. The Catholics believe in the universal church too. I'm saying to you today, the church never has been universal. It never will be universal. It never has been invisible. It never will be invisible. Here or hereafter, it'll be something that can be seen. Isn't going to change from earth to glory. I'm saying to you today, beloved, whatever it is on earth, it'll be in heaven because the Word was settled in heaven. And it's settled there. Whatever this Bible has to say about the church, brother, God already has it written and settled in heaven. And if it changes, the Word of God in heaven will have to change. Them's my conviction. I intend to stand for it. Are we going to fellowship with Baptists by name? We have two families coming to Grace Church right now that will join next Sunday if we'll compromise on baptism. We're praying for them. We're trying to get them to see the truth. Now listen. In most cases, if you receive a person who doesn't believe the truth about baptism and he doesn't aim to receive it, he has no intentions of changing, he wants you to change. When you get him in there, you'll also have a person that will be wrong on the supper of our Lord. And if you have somebody that's wrong on baptism and on the church of our Lord, membership of your church, you have a half-breed. That is not Baptist teaching. It absolutely is not. Somebody said, I'm interested in Bible teaching. Brother, when I'm talking about Baptist teaching, I'm talking about Bible teaching. I tell you what you can do. You can get a fellow saved by the grace of God, give him the Bible, let him stay in touch with God, and it won't be long till he'll be a Baptist. If he just reads this book right here, the Bible, the Word of God, it'll make Baptist. So I say to you today, tonight, brethren, it isn't enough to preach on this thing. I hope you Baptist preachers will go back home
And if you let down the gap, I hope God will help you to go back home and take a stand. I'll tell you what will happen when you do. You'll lose some. We've lost some in our church. Our church isn't growing like I want it to grow, like I desire to see it grow. But I'll be frank with you. I don't want a person in our church that's unteachable.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I realize that when people come into the church, that they're not taught these things, but they'll take them when you do teach them.
Amen.
See, that's what I'm saying. They'll take them when you do teach them. And that's our business, to teach them the word of the Lord. I'll tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, turn here and read verse 2. Verse 12 said, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone." Now, what do you think he meant? What do you think he meant? I believe he meant exactly what he said. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. I wouldn't stop every denomination on earth tonight from their work in this world if I could raise my hand and vote to stop them. I would not do it. But I will do what God said. I'm going to leave them alone. You tell a little child, there's a rattlesnake out in the yard, and you say, "Leave it alone." What do you mean? You mean exactly what you said. Leave it alone. And that's exactly what true Baptists ought to do tonight with heretical churches in this world, ought to leave them alone.
Amen.
Leave them alone. All right? Now, I want to give you another Old Testament scripture. Tried to preach on this, and high-powered evangelists preach on it. I'm not a high-powered evangelist, but the Lord let me preach on it. In Genesis 30, open your Bibles there, at that opening, and you hear this statement by Rachel, "Give me children or else I die." Now, that's a good statement. And that is a good desire. I believe every Baptist church tonight and every Baptist preacher ought to have that concern. Give me children lest I die. The only way to keep a Baptist church going is to keep getting people saved and added to it. The membership you have, if God doesn't save some more pretty soon and bring them in and get them taught the Word of God, then she's going to die out. "Give me children, lest I die," is the desire of Rachel and her saying to Jacob. "Give me children, lest I die, or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" And she said to Jacob, "Take my maid, and beget a child by her." I've just got to hold me a baby on my lap, on my knees. I've got to have children. The first child that was born to Jacob, and the maid's name was Dan. And both brother and sister tonight, Dan never was a blessing to the cause of Israel. I'm assured the desire was there, the right desire. "Give me child or children, lest I die." Right desire. The right seed was there, the seed of Jacob. The wrong woman. Now you apply that spiritually. Oh, the church of the living God is thought of as being a woman. And false churches are thought of as being the daughters of Jezebel. We don't need your children. We don't need people that are saved by the grace of God that are the offspring of Jacob, but they're children of the maid. Let me show you what God said. A few years later, God had mercy and grace upon Rachel.
And she bore a son and called his name Joseph. Joseph means adding. Dan means judging. Beloved, I'm telling you, if we beget Karen in the wrong manner and the wrong woman is used, it'll be exactly like Dan, and God will never accept it as an issue. But only those that he has ordained in the proper manner and the proper mode will he accept. Now, let me show you what happened later on. And the same thing's happening tonight, right tonight. I'm leading up something that I want to read you. It's in the Bible what I'm fixing to read out of the Bible now. I got something else I want to read. Look in Genesis 49. When old Jacob came to die and brought his son to him, Jacob knew that he'd done wrong. Verse 16, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way. Dan shall be a serpent by the way and an adder in the path. Go to a poisonous thing, so that he biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I'm telling you today that there are children that are coming into our Baptist ranks today, even preachers, that are children of Dan, that are from the tribe of Dan, as it were, and they're an adder in the way, and they're biting at the heels of the horses, and they're falling over backwards, and the rider is being injured. I want to tell you that's exactly what's happening in our Baptist churches today. I don't care if a man believes the fire points of Calvinism, they call it. If he doesn't believe the truth of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he may be the seed of Jacob, but he has the wrong mother. And it's going to destroy Baptist churches in this world. I like that. You know, a lot of people's in the flower business. I said, we don't have a flower garden at Grace. We're not interested in growing tulips. No, we're not in the flower business. We're interested in getting people saved and indoctrinated in Baptist truth. Now, some of you didn't know about this tulip business, and I didn't either a few years ago. But tulips, you know, are supposed to spell out the 5 points of Calvinism. I believe them. Preach them anywhere you want to. Frontwards, backwards, start in the middle, spread out each way. But I believe the purpose of them is to make Baptists to the glory of God.
Amen.
Now, let's see about Joseph here. You still got your Bible open to the book of Genesis? Verse 22 of the 49th chapter, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even the bough by the well whose branches run over the wall, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Who was Joseph? Brother, he was the one that was born like he's supposed to be born and used like he was supposed to be used, and they hated him. And they shot at him. For as I know, Dan didn't get shot at much. And I tell you what, these 5-point Calvinistic fellows that are not Baptists didn't get shot at much either. I'm shooting at them tonight. I'd like to take them squirrel hunting. I believe they're enemies, brethren. I believe they're enemies of the truth of God. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. There's the difference, and it's still that much difference tonight. I'm going to read you something. Here's a program of the Trinity Reformed Baptist Church. And whether any of you are acquainted with it or not, I hope not. I pray to God you won't be. Sovereign Grace Pastors Conference. Don't that sound delicious? Sounds all right, don't it? Now, let me read you something. In recent years, the Lord has been raising up many men and churches who have been blessed by the rediscovery of the truth of God's Word. I don't believe that. As it was taught by the Reformers and Puritans. See me like the gold is getting cockeyed.
Amen.
Many of such Calvinists, even those who sprinkle babies, I don't want to identify to that mess, are Baptists and thus find themselves without the camps of other Reformed churches. Now listen, for this reason, the Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Allentown invites all brethren of like precious faith to its 1973 conference. The last opening. Now everything's sounding pretty good up until now. Therefore, we would enlist your prayers that the God of all grace would be pleased to grant genuine spiritual refreshment in the 1973 conference. Now let me show you who's the speaker. Pastor John R. DeWitt, Williamsburg Presbyterian Church, King Street, South Carolina. All of those preachers and churches and people that have a part in that service is going to crawl in the bed with a daughter of Jezebel. And when that service has come to a close, they will be guilty of spiritual fornication before God. I believe this thing needs to be denounced as much as T-73. T-73 will not hurt our independent Baptist churches as much as this devilish thing right here. And they are committing spiritual fornication in the name of sovereign grace. I'm not mad, I just act like it. I'm mad at the devil. I don't hesitate to tell that I'm mad at the devil. I'll tell you, brethren, God made a Baptist out of me, and I had to suffer for Baptists, and I'm dying today for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's, I tell you what, I believe if I did not cry out against these evils, that God would take me out of this world. I believe God has placed me in this world for these latter day times by His doctrines of grace, if you want to use it that way, to stand for the truth of the local Baptist church. I'm going to try by the help of God to keep her separated by the grace of God. I don't want one dime of my money going to a program such as I just read. Now let me show you something. Let me read you from the Word of God. I'm talking about growing at any cost. Are we going to grow at the cost of committing fornication? I'm not. I'd rather get up on a stump and preach to all who will gather around the stump than to preach to 10,000 of people and deny local church truth.
Amen.
Now let me read to you from the Word of God. Over in the book of Revelation, there's something that reads like this. Verse 18, chapter 2. And under the angel of the church in Thyatira, or under the messenger of the church in Thyatira, these things, write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, must add some, and charity, and service and faith. Now this is the local church he's writing to. And thy last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. What is it, Lord, that you have against the church at their time? They're working? They're working? Did it say they had charity or love? Yep. But Lord said he had something against them. What is it? Because thou permittest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. That's what they're doing. Said, I don't believe that. You'll believe it and you get to glory. You'll believe it when you get to glory. Now, what did God do? God said, I gave her space to repent of her fornication. That's what's supposed to do about it. And she repented not. Now, what's going to be the overall result of this thing? Behold, I'll cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. Don't tell me God doesn't hate a false prophet teaching in a New Testament church. Brother, the result of such a union is death. Is death. That's the result of such a union. Death. And that wasn't that the result of Dan? Sure it was. Abraham got into the same mess. Same thing. All trouble over yonder now is because Abraham didn't listen to God and listen to Sarah and begot a child, seed of Abraham. Sure they are. Again, the wrong woman. And brother, there's serpents in the way. The serpent's in the way now. And they slipped in unawares tonight in our Baptist ranks. Now, brethren, if you're here tonight, I don't know of anybody here. It just looks to me like everybody might be believing what I'm saying. Of course, you may have a false grin on your face, and I can't tell the difference. But I tell you what, I'm doing it because I love you. And I pray to God that He'll grant you repentance. If you have any feeling of compromising with the denominations of this earth, I tell you something else about growing. I'm not going to preach much longer because I've gotten a burden that I want to get over tonight off of my heart. And I tell you something else, brethren, about the Lord's Supper. I don't get excited. I'm not going to throw out any rocks. I'm going to talk about the Lord's Supper from the standpoint of it being a church ordinance. We practice what we feel God wants us to practice, and we take unleavened bread and wine at our church. But whatever you do is between you and God. And we'll fellowship with you if you'll fellowship with us. But I tell you, the minute that you start taking open communion, our fellowship will stop. Because those things are absolutely connected with the heretical errors that I'm talking to you about tonight. The church, the Lord's Supper is a church ordinance. It's to be observed by the church. Nobody else. Nobody else. These are precious to me. I have some convictions about them because God gave them to me. And I can't live with myself and not stand for them. Let me say this. We can grow if we... Let me say this about the Lord's Supper, too. You know, we've got a lot of Baptists in the world that think it's a denominational ordinance. It's not a denominational ordinance. All Baptists get together and take it. Well, it's as much open communion and denial of the Word of God if you let a Methodist in once in a while. It's a church ordinance. Well, I don't see it that way. Study your Bible and ask God to show you, and I'll guarantee you'll see it that way. Because that's the way it is. I'm like the brother preacher this afternoon. I believe everything I believe is right. Let me tell you why I'm so dogmatic. Somebody said, I don't want to be dogmatic about the Bible. Why? I am dogmatic. That's what that means. Several years ago, I told my son Phil this, sent me my home last week. I said, son, you find out what you believe and why you believe it by the Word of God. Not even because I tell you. Find it out for yourself. A number of years ago, Brother Johnson was probably there at the First Baptist Church at Mayfield where Dr. Horton was pastor. We had a Baptist preacher's conference. And at that time, most Baptists were fairly sound. At that time, most missionary Baptists were. Listen, beloved, there has been a time when convention Baptists believe what I'm preaching to you tonight. And I have seen them go from standing for these truths to where they are tonight. Most of them. Now, that's the truth, Ben. I'm telling you the truth. We went to that conference that morning. Brother L.I. Kingston, who is in glory, stood up that day and preached on the bride of Christ. I never will forget. I don't want to forget. He preached that the bride of Christ was a Baptist bride. I still believe that. I wouldn't lay down that truth to get 100 members next Sunday morning. I wish we had 100 that believed it. I'd gladly take them in. Or if they'd come in and sit there long enough, let me teach it to them. Because I'm going to be working on them. But we went to that church that day. I guess there were 50 preachers there. Billy Kingston preached on the bride of Christ. I thought it was one of the best messages I've heard. I hadn't been preaching too long, but I thought I could recognize preaching. But Dr. Horton didn't think it was preaching. He got up and took Brother L.I. Kingston apart, tried to. That open revelation about the city, you know. Well, he did the wrong thing, because when he sat down, Brother Kingston said, he said, that's right down the land. He turned loose and preached another hour. And I thought those preachers were going to fight. I mean, literally, actually. I never was as disappointed and ready to throw up my hands and quit in my life, because I always had confidence in Baptist preachers. I thought if any truth I wanted to know, I could go ask anybody and they could tell me. I walked out of that basement that day out on the sidewalk and the sun had quit shining. It seemed to me like that was the darkest moment that I'd ever lived since I'd been saved by the grace of God. And so God, being my witness, the Holy Spirit said to me that day, I born you again. I gave you a call. I wrote the Bible. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. You study it and preach it, and I'll teach it to you. Brother, there's not enough of you here tonight to change me on my condition. They came from God. And I would to God tonight that our Baptist preachers would turn back to God in the Bible and the Holy Spirit and place their confidence in what God said and not let man or devil take it. I tell you, all you need to know the Word of God is to be saved by the grace of God and have the Holy Spirit of God in your heart and the desire to know His will. You don't have to have the Puritan writers to find it out. If you'll come up home next time you're in Michigan, come by my house, and I'll take you up in my little, what I call it, the study. There's not much in it. Not many books in it. Some of them. I have written some like this. I've been reading those great writers, you know. I run across the fact about the church being universal and invisible, and I put a red mark across it and said, that is a lie. Because I'm afraid somebody will want to borrow my book. Brethren, tonight, oh God, help us that we'll not grow at any cost, but that we'll turn to our Lord and back to the Word of God and back to John the Baptist preaching a hellfire and a damnation, preaching the judgment of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that every man shall come into the judgment of God. Shall we grow tonight? I could go on and talk to you about a lot of other things. I want to mention two things and then I'll close. Now, I'll not talk about them very long. But shall we grow tonight, brethren, at the expense and at the cost of quit rebuking sin? Shall we? No. Somebody said, you can't grow and rebuke sin. You can grow all you need to grow and rebuke sin. I tell you, in this day in which we live, churches are growing. We have one not far from us. Runs over 2,000 in Sunday school. I'm not against 2,000 in Sunday school. I wish we had 5,000. Yeah, I do.
I wish we had an increase of 100 every day. But I tell you what, brother,
in that kind of a church, 9 times out of 10, there'll never anything be said about ungodliness. I get so sick and tired tonight of seeing men look like women and women look like men.
Amen.
We've come to the place in our life that even preachers' wives dress up in men's apparel, that which looks exactly like them. And so the boys got tired of it and they decided they'd get their hair like the women. So I don't even preach against it. I just don't say it and go on. But today you could be a dram drinker. You can be a dancer, you can be a gambler, you can be anything and be a member of a Baptist church, and a lot of preachers delight in counting noses. I'm saying to you tonight, God only uses a clean vessel. Now let me show you. Somebody said, preach sovereign grace and straighten them out. It won't straighten them out. Let me say something else. Brethren, you can forgive me if you want to. If you don't, we'll just meet God with it. The 5 points of Calvinism alone will kill a Baptist church.
Amen.
If you don't preach on the responsibility of individuals tonight, brother, they're not going to do anything.
Amen.
I want to show you that this sovereign grace does that, and then we'll close. Open your Bibles to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Now that's the kind of grace that what we've heard about this week, isn't it? Like Brother Bean said, no use saying black, cold, wet water, because we know it's like that. The grace of God. What kind of grace is that? Well, it's the grace that the Bible talks about, that God chose us in eternity and directed us unto salvation and called us with an effectual calling and justified us when we believe. But better that belief when the Lord Jesus Christ started us on the road of perfection and to be fashioned like the image of the glorious Son of God.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to wait till they get glorified to look like him. I tell you what, you better start now because you may not be glorified.
Yeah.
And along with this eternal security of the believer, I tell you why a lot of people want to preach the 5 points of Calvinism and leave the rest off is because it rocks them to sleep in their complacency, and they never get disturbed about the souls of men.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Now look, I didn't say everybody does that. I said some does that. Now let me read to you the Word of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. The grace of God teaches us that we deny ungodliness. The grace of God does it. Now, how does it do it? The same way you get taught about the grace of God, through the Spirit and the Word of God. Same way, no different. That's the way you learn about the grace of God, isn't it? Why, so of course, first some of the hymn, hymn of the Word, teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We went to church the other morning, Sunday morning, and here came a young girl, about 14 years old, prison in the pants suit. Said, what'd you do? I didn't do nothing. Said, I tell you what, she keeps coming, I'll do something. I'll try to lead her to the Lord. And then I'll tell her how she ought to dress, come to the house of God, and I'll go get a dirty maid Jesus. No difference. We're a child of God everywhere we go.
Amen.
When we go to the saloon, the dance hall, if we're a child of God, we're still a child of God. We want to be there. Worldly love. But I said, don't preach on the style. Why? That's what's wrong today.
Amen.
I'm going to denounce it.
Amen.
Isn't anything any more godly to me than a godly woman?
Amen.
Isn't anything that fills my heart with contempt like one that professes to be godly and ungodly? Same thing with a man. I'm not just preaching against the ladies tonight and the women. I tell you what, the responsibility of that home is the man's. And there is a lot of pussy-footing, compromising daddies today that don't have enough grace to save a goat, much less a sinner.
that won't stand for anything. Old Abraham commanded his children and his household after him. There were some things in Abraham's home they had to do. But I have to leave little Johnny alone because he was working. I tell you what, you'd better warp him. If you don't warp him, he'll warp you. And he'll bring that wife of yours that bore him to you, will bring her to shame. I told my oldest boy one time, he grunted where I could hear him. He's 15 years old and cast his mother. I said, if you grunt one more time loud enough for me to hear you, I'll try to knock every tooth out of your head and knock you back or down the steps. Somebody said, you oughtn't to talk to her another way. I said, what? I convinced him he hadn't passed her from that day to this. He's only 30 years old. I just ain't put up with it. I'm saying to you today, brethren, that there is some responsibility that rests upon us of godly living, and we're to direct our homes after us. Now, it's true, when they leave your home, there's not a thing you can do. But you better be dead sure that you're the master of it when they're home. I don't know where that got in here, but it's in here. It's in the book. That's one thing. Sure, it's in the Bible, isn't it? I tell you what I found out. What time is it? Here's 9:30. I'll tell you what I found out. If you don't believe it, you ask the school teachers that are in this congregation, or the Sunday school teachers. They can tell just in a day or two as your child gets in their classroom what stand of teaching it has at home. If you don't believe it, ask them. And the boy or girl that is called to respect his parents will 9 times out of 10 respect the preacher who preaches the Word of God. Well, let me read the rest of this, and I'm going to quit. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, that's what we deny. Here's what we do. That we should live soberly. And I don't mean don't get drunk. That it probably means that too, but that's not all it means. Wouldn't you like to see people called Baptists tonight do a little serious thinking?
Amen.
Just really get down to business with it. We should live soberly and righteously in this godly world, and godly in this present world. That's the one we're in now. Don't you worry about how you're going to live in the next one, brother. Look, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know what's wrong tonight, beloved? Preachers are trying to get the people zealous before they give them a good word tonight. Well, you get people cleaned up and living right, and they'll be there. Get zealous. Oh, I won't keep it. See people saying anymore. I do. You got some things in your life that ought to be there. What's wrong? One other thing, I thought I'll be walking this way when I get over there quick. I tell you, brethren, I've already mentioned this. Tonight, my convictions are that out of the bad person will come the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's the truth. You may not believe that. That's all right. But I do believe that. And I'm not going to encourage people to unite with our church who want to argue with me on that situation. No, I'm not going to do it. I'll try to teach them when they get in there. I want them to keep quiet when they get in there. Oh, brethren tonight, we have a wonderful heritage. God bless our hearts. May he strengthen our faith. May he condemn for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the faith that includes the wonderful grace of God and the Church of the living God to declare it often for the Son of God. And the head in Christ shall rise but in the living of the main unto the Son of the Lord shall be glory out to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord shall all be over them. And what we've done on earth will be taken into account in the
Lord. Amen. Amen.